Welcome to your internet audio trip across the country, the 2K Way, a fact-filled 30 minutes of people, product, and lakes from coast to coast. And now your host, MC Ray.
All right, welcome back to another edition of the 2K Way. We are going to, actually, the state I was born in, California. We're going to talk to Roger. Roger, you there?
Yes, I'm there. Hi.
You're there or you're there? You're here or you're there?
I'm here. I'm here in California.
All right. What part of California are you in?
So I live in Northern California. I live about 30 minutes from Clear Lake, which is one of the best lakes here in the United States. So I live in a little town called Redwood Valley, California.
Oh, okay. Clear Lake. That is one of the lakes that I'm actually thinking about going out to next year.
Well, if you make it out here, you hit me up, and I will definitely take you out on the lake.
No.
I promise.
Good deal. You know what? Let me ask you this. Now, are you on... I was reading some regulations in California or come across something that I was reading, and they were talking about you can only fish or tournaments are only done between... X hour and X hour, you have to be off the lake by like 1 o'clock or something like that.
We do have regulations in the summertime.
Okay.
Yeah, to help the fish out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was listening to you.
Oh, okay. I got some feedback there. No. So in the summertime, they try to limit the length of the tournaments to 6 hours to try to help the fish stay alive because of the extreme heat we have here. So normally you'll have a tournament, let's say it'll start at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll be off the water by noon. So it just helps. It helps the fish out, and it also helps the fishermen out because it really does get blistering hot here.
That makes sense. I thought I read something about that because they just enacted that over in Wisconsin. I believe it's Wisconsin.
Hmm.
Or they're trying to, but the reasons are a little different. It's the homeowners and the homeowner associations do not want the anglers on the water, so now they're trying to make it, they're saying that if they're out there after noon, it affects the jet skiers and the water skiers and the pleasure boaters. And it's, yeah, back here, I'll tell you what, we've got cluster messes of that stuff.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought those people were bothering us out there fishing.
They don't understand that, yes, that's what they do. They bother us 90% of the time, but we're always the ones at fault. Do you find that to be true out there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's the pleasure boaters are the people who are, cause the most problems out on the lake. So,
wow.
It's not the fishermen.
It must be a nationwide problem for us bass anglers, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All right,
let's
get started with the 2K Way interview. We got 9 questions. We're going to ask 9 questions, get some answers from you, and see where it takes us. So, question number 1,
right.
Which is going to be a little redundant because we already went through it, but let's go through it again. Give me your name and location.
So, my name is Roger Tarrant, and I live in Redwood Valley, California. And that's located about 30 minutes west of Clear Lake, where 101 and 20 come together.
Okay, give me a little background on yourself. When you got started in tournaments, any goals you may have in the bass fishing world, what you're doing now, trails you fish. Just give us a breakdown on you.
Sure. So I kind of got into the sport late. I didn't pick up fishing until 2001. When I moved back to California from Ohio. And the crazy thing was I had actually lived in Dayton, Tennessee for a while, right by Lake Chickamauga. I worked in downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that's right by Lake Mickey Jack. And I also lived in Alabama, right by Huntsville, close to Lake Gunnersville. So when I was there, I never did any fishing until I moved back to California, and my dad was a tournament angler. And so I kind of took a year off work, and I just started fishing some of the local tournaments. And at that time, the pro-ams I was fishing, Ski Reese was still here, Mike Reynolds was here, Ish Monroe was here, D. Thomas.
Oh, wow.
Aaron Martins, Mark Tyler, Gary Dobbins. I mean, the list goes on. And these are just local tournaments that you're fishing. And so these are some of the pros that you would end up drawing on weekends to get to fish with. So it wasn't a better place for me to start learning. So I got out of fishing for several years when the downturn of the market hit, of course. So I took off of, about 5 years, and I just got back into fishing last year. And so I fished one circuit and had a little bit of trouble with my boat. Had to borrow 3 boats to finish up the year. So I got a new motor this year through FLW, and I'm ready to go. So the circuits I'm going to fish this year, I'm fishing the FLW Rayovac for the West Coast. I'm also going to be fishing the California Tournament Trail as a pro. I'm going to fish the one bass Clear Lake Open as a pro. Also be fishing the Best Bass Tournament circuits. There's 2 circuits of that, so there's about 10 tournaments I'll be fishing there. The River to Sea Open, the Yamamoto Open, and the Frog Open, which used to be the Snag Pro. There's also a Rattle Trap Open. So hopefully, fishing all these tournaments, I can qualify for a couple of TOCs, and my main goal is to get back to Kentucky this year to be the qualifier for the FLW. One reason I get to see my mother, my brother, and my sisters, because they live in Tennessee, get to see some of my friends down in Alabama and Georgia at the same time.
Good deal. Now, let me ask you this. All of those opens, the Rattle Trap Open, the Yamamoto Open, the Frog Open, you know, if you need a partner, just call, okay? I know how to throw a Yamamoto. I just got a brand new Frog rod. So, I mean, you know, you're not that far. You're only, what, on the other side of the nation?
Yeah, just a hop, skip, and a jump.
All right, what's your favorite home lake?
Well, definitely Clear Lake, because, you know, it's 30 minutes to the upper end of the lake for me, and I'm in the water. You know, and I normally go out there 2 to 3 times a week. And the main reason is, it's one of the best fishing places in the United States. There's huge bass there. And, you know, here in another month and a half, that pre-spawn is going to start, and it's just going to be on fire. And I just look forward to it every year.
Okay, so I should come out there middle March then. All right, got it. What's your favorite away lake?
It's got to be the California Delta, which is about a 2-hour drive for me.
Okay.
And I fish a ton of tournaments down there. And you know, it's kind of one of those unique places. It's not like anywhere else, maybe other than in Louisiana, because you have the tidal waters, which makes it a completely different type of fishing. I do a lot of flipping and pitching down there, but you know, you also get to, you do a lot of topwater fishing, a lot of punching. So there's a various amount of ways to catch fish on that body of water. And that's where a lot of these tournaments are going to be at, like the Yamamoto, the Frog, and the Rattle Trap. So I really look forward to that.
Man, you got a lot of big, cool tournaments out there. I mean, we have like the Spro Open, but it's not in Michigan. You have to go down to Gunnersville, I believe. And then I don't know, like the Oakley Big Bass, I think it's called, but it's down south. You know, with having Lake St. Clair up here, you'd think we'd have a little bit more, but we really don't have a lot of cool, bigger tournaments like that come through here. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I've been reading about the Oakley tournaments, and I wish they would come out here, but it seems like it's kind of more of a southern type of thing.
Yep, that's what I was reading on, too. Okay, what kind of bass boat, what kind of rig do you run, motor, electronics? Give us the breakdown on the cool stuff.
So I've got a Ranger 519 with an Evinrude 200. And the Evinrude's brand new. Like I said, I blew my other motor last year, so I just replaced it. I'm also running a Hydrowave on my boat. And I'm running the Hummingbird 997, the side imaging. Mm-hmm. And that's at the where the driver is, and in the front have been 798 HD with down sonar. So I have them interlinked, so you know, basically can do anything you need, and they're awesome graphs.
Way cool. Okay, let me ask you about the Hydrowave. Do you believe in your Hydrowave?
I do. I mean, I've been out running it. I run it, you know, anytime I'm out fishing, especially this time of year with so much bait in the water. And then one of the other things that's cool about them that I try to do in the summertime or in the spring when the spawn airs and I'm bed fishing, I'll run my Hydrowave when I'm running my trolling motor on low, and it kind of helps with the noise of your trolling motor.
Good call. I'm a believer in the Hydrowave also. Now, let's jump into fishing. What is your favorite method outside of a 2K product?
It's got to be top water throwing a frog, with the hands down. I mean, it's just an exciting way to fish, and you just never know when that next bite's going to come. So for me, here at Clear Lake and the Delta, there's just so many places to throw it, and it's really productive.
All right, break down the gear that you use for that. Give me the rod, the reel, the gear ratio, the line you use.
Yeah, so I'm throwing a PAL rod. I'm using a PAL rod, the 806 CD, and it's a modified, so it's a fast action rod. I'm also using a Shimano Corrado reels in a 7-to-1, and I'm using a 65-pound Power Pro braid. So that way, when those fish get on there and they get down into those mats or in those weeds, you can just pull them right out. You don't have to worry about the fish coming off. And with that 7-to-1, you can wind them in really quick.
Wow. Okay, that's some heavy braid. I think the most I use up here is like maybe 45. I think I have 50 for flipping, and that's it.
Yeah, you can dig about anywhere.
Okay, what kind of water conditions or what are you looking for when you're going to pull that frog out and you want to fish that frog? What would be the ideal conditions or what do you look for to set you up so you know, okay, I need to bend down, I need to pick the frog up, and I need to start throwing it?
Well, one thing, I'm definitely looking for a sunny day, bright skies, the 80 to 90 degrees and up. Also, one of the things out here is the variation in weather. So from morning to evening or from that morning on, you want to make sure there's not more than a 26-degree difference in temperature. It really seems to trigger those bass to bite or to get under the cover. And so one of the main things I like to do is fish isolated cover, small mats, or I'll throw on the bigger mats. But the bigger mats, normally, I don't want them to be completely cheesed over. I want it to be a little loose with, some open areas in between them, and try to throw to those pockets. And that seems to be, one of the keys to catching those fish.
All right. You know what? That's very interesting. I've never heard that before. So let's dive into that just a little bit, if you don't mind. Your temperature.
Sure.
You said you don't want a 26-degree difference. So which means, if I'm hearing that correctly, is you're looking for, it's 61 in the morning, but we're not going to hit anything over like 85. Is that what you're talking about? That difference?
You don't want the difference to be more than about 20 for a morning bite. So if you want to get on a really good morning bite, you don't want that variation to be more than 26 degrees.
Really? It makes that big of a difference?
It seems to. In the afternoon, you'll get those bites once that sun gets up and it starts warming up those rocks and the mats, where they'll get underneath them and get that oxygen. But if you find that there's not that big of a difference from the night to the next morning, that's when you'll get those bites in the morning. That's what I found.
Wow. That's very cool to know. Now I'm wondering if that could be applied across in other areas. Because I don't...
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to give the other guys food for thought when they listen to this is, hey, maybe that's something we can look at for the frog throwers. Maybe they can look at, on the West Coast, this is kind of what they're doing here. And this particular gentleman finds a little bit better bite if it's this. So is that something we can look at back here and go, he was right. It changed here, but we're only a 10 or 15 degree change versus your 20 or 26. See what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, that's something I've never heard of before.
Yeah, it seems to be pretty tried and true. So I normally try to watch the weather patterns before I go fishing just to see, what those swings are.
Gotcha. Oh, very cool. Okay, what is your favorite 2K product and color?
I would say the Head Rush. And the reason I like the Head Rush is because there's a lot of punching that we do out here on the West Coast, of course.
Okay.
And it just seems to be one of those, one of those baits that works really well for the conditions we have here. I normally try to stay to basic colors, black on black, brown and orange, brown and brown. I don't really get away from those pitching, punching, whatever it might be.
Okay. What kind of weights are you looking at when you throw that?
With that head rush, usually I'm throwing like a 3/4 ounce or an ounce. Because you needed to get through that. We have a lot, that vegetation out here, hydrilla or the heavy mats, and you want it to go right through it. So heavier the better most of the time.
Okay. What gear? What? Give me the breakdown on your gear. The rod, the reel, the line. Give me that breakdown again.
Yeah. So again, I'm throwing the PAL, and I'm throwing the 735 and the medium heavy, which is a flipping rod and extra fast action on the tip. So when you get it through that stuff and the fish bites right away, quick hook set, and that hook is getting into the fish really well. And then I normally use the Shimano Corrado. And I'll throw it on 50-pound braid or 65-pound braid, depending on how heavy the cover is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're using heavy gear, but you use a heavier line for the frog than you do punching, right?
Yeah, because I find that when I'm fishing those mats, it's more open water where I don't have a lot of vegetation directly below it. Whereas when I'm throwing that frog, there's a lot of vegetation, and those fish will get down in that vegetation and pin themselves. So I just want to make sure that with the frog, I can pull them out with this and just punching through that cover. It's not long cast either, so it's easier to get them in the boat.
Okay. Well, we've covered part of it, but we didn't, isolate it. But what specifically are you looking for when you're going to throw that head rush?
Typically, and I'm throwing a lot in the Delta, and I'm throwing a lot on the mats, the heavy cheese mats, to get pushed into some of the corners or the bends in the river system. And most of the time I'm looking for where there's not heavy vegetation under them, where it's clear, so those fish are just kind of getting up underneath there. And the idea is punching through and just barely letting it go through the top and then basically yo-yoing your bait, where those fish, more like it's like a crawdad, so they come up and they want to eat it right below the top of right when it comes through the vegetation, or I'm sorry, the mat.
Then what are your water conditions that you're looking for that's going to set you up a little bit better?
Well, most of the time I'm looking for, being out of the wind or no wind at all. Those mats seem to kind of get blown around. And so if you have fishes where it's been sunny, bright, and there's not been a lot of wind, that's when I really want to fish those mats, is during the time when the sun is directly overhead. Water clarity doesn't seem to really make that big a difference in the Delta.
Okay.
I think it's with all the vegetation down there, it gets filtered pretty well, so the water's pretty clear. But it's not a case where you can actually see the fish down, below a lot of that vegetation or those mats.
All right. Let's see. Okay. The head rush. Do you have any tournaments that you can account a perfect win on the head rush, or where it's come into play and it's helped you cash that check, or how has it fallen into your arsenal as of now?
Unfortunately, it's one of those products that I got in with 2K or Custom Kicker Jigs after my season had ended this last year, and that's when I actually found this product. I was going through my Facebook. I found Scottsboro Baits, and I started looking them up. And I thought, wow, this is the perfect bait for out here in California. So I got some. I've been fishing with them, but I haven't fished any tournaments with them yet.
Okay.
So this will be my first year with the product, and I hope there's good news come the end of this year.
There will be. Trust me, it's 2K. All right, now let's the head rush. It's a little bit different. It's like a glorified oversized Jika rig for anybody that's not familiar with it, is what it reminds me of. Why don't you break down what you find about that head rush versus your ounce and a half with your peg and all of, the other stuff that you would normally use to do that method. So,
right. Well, one of the main reasons that I like it, so when you put your punching rig together, you've got an ounce and a half weight of tungsten. You've got a punching skirt. You've got a 5 or 6 odd hook. When you put all that together, you spend $20, right? So I can buy a head rush for $7, and you're basically getting the same exact thing. It's all hooked together, so it won't come, it doesn't come apart. You don't have to have three or four pieces to go together to create the same thing that I've done for $20. So for me, it's value. It's the way that the bait works. I prefer it over the way that I've been doing it. And the other thing is, I went out and fished the Delta earlier this last year. I lost 3 rigs in one day, so that's about $60 in bait. There's some value there, and that's really important to me.
Now, break down the trailer, the changes that you may make with your trailer. Do you use different trailers for different, weed situations, water temperature situations? What's your favorite trailer on it? Do you modify it in any way, shape, form, or fashion? What do you do with it?
So with that bait, I normally will throw, a Tightlines UV, Texas rig bait or, a Whisker Beaver with that because of the way it's seen in the water. The fish react to it better, just because of the UV in that. And that's what I use for most of my pitching that I do. With that bait and it being so heavy, I want a big trailer. I want something that has a big presentation in the water that moves a lot of water, where the fish will react to it. Whereas if I'm throwing a regular jig, or a football head or the red zone, depending on what I'm fishing, how the water's moving, I might want a bigger trailer at some point so it falls slower, or I might want a smaller presentation depending on what the fish are doing.
Now, we know you haven't gotten into tournaments just yet with the 2K product because you just found it after the season started, but you have been fishing it. Do you have a best experience, big fish, anything like that with the product yet?
You know, I've caught a couple over 7 on the jigs, on the red zone. Out here at Clear Lake since I've found this product. And I've been really working with several of the different types of the products that they have just to see how they work, like the Dock Monkey, trying to flip and pitch that under cover or under docks. But the Red Zone has been my favorite so far. I fish a lot of jigs, especially this time of year with the colder water. Just basically slow rolling those things around, you know, off the bottom of the lake around the rocks and some places like that. And they seem to have done a really good job creating these baits and a lot of the technology that went into the baits, like the 60-degree on the eyelets. Really, really, you know, a smart idea. You get more hook sets that way.
Yep. He thought about the products when he put them together. I don't doubt that.
Oh, absolutely. To me, these are jigs made for jig fishermen, that's for sure.
Yeah, see, you know what? I got to ask Dan that. I wonder if he fishes jigs or if he used to. No, I'm sure he did. Okay, anything you can think of we may have missed as far as your jig, the head rush, anything you want to share with us?
With the Red Zone, one of the reasons I picked that jig over a lot of the other jigs is because of the size of the head. You can fish it in deep cover. It doesn't get hung up. And I also like that the idea that they're handmade, that, you know, they have the copper ties. I think they last longer. And the rubber, the live rubber seems to be really, really vibrant in the water. So I haven't found anything that I don't like about the jigs, that's for sure.
Well, once you start fishing them in your tournaments, you're probably going to like them a lot better. Now, I was never a jig fisherman. I didn't pick up a jig until 2 years ago. And I picked up, it wasn't a method for me. I was afraid of it. I was afraid of it. And then I picked up a Dock Monkey and proceeded to have one of the best days on an inland lake that I've ever had. And I have not put the jig down since. You know, I think you're right. I think that living rubber and the way he ties his, he stack ties them, you know, he stacks the coils of the copper instead of just, you know, winding it around and not paying attention. They're stacked. And I think with that rubber and the way he stacks it, is it that live rubber, that living rubber, just kind of opens up when it hits the bottom, and it gives you a fuller fan, if you will, when it hits.
No, I totally agree. They they're great products. I mean, these guys have really spent a lot of time designing some outstanding stuff.
Well, what I think is cool is he's here in Michigan, and I'm talking to a cat from California that's throwing them on Clear Lake and throwing them on the Delta, and you're going to be putting them in your arsenal, fishing tournaments, some pretty big tournaments, with your eyes set on making, what, the FLW?
That's my goal next year, is to fish the Rayovac out here and qualify to fish the FLW the following year. That's where I'm headed.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool that you're putting a product in the boat to try to help you get that done.
Oh, absolutely.
If anybody out there on your side of the country, if they happen to catch this little interview here and want to talk to you about the product, maybe a tackle shop wants to talk to you about how maybe they can get it in or something like that, is there a way people can get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. I can give you my email. That's Roger.Terran, the number 2@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook at Roger Terran, which is T-A-R-I-N. I'm also on Instagram at Roger.Terran.
All right. Well, on that note, sir, I would like to thank you for your time and your insight into the product in California. You're making me like, okay, I'm supposed to go to Florida in March, but maybe I should go to California instead and go to Florida next year.
You definitely got to make it out here. I'm looking forward to seeing the Elite Series guys out here this year, and it's going to be an unbelievable year out on the tour.
Okay, Roger, I want to thank you again for your time, your insight into the product, and your insight into California and some of the lakes you have over there. I'm sure we'll see you around on the 2K Crew Facebook page, and want to wish you the best of luck out there doing what you have planned for next year.
All right, I really appreciate it, and thank you for the time. Hope everybody catches a lot of fish this year.
The 2K Way is proudly brought to you by Custom Kicker Jigs, Brandy Rocks Productions, and the 2K Crew. Visit www.customkickerjigs.com. and see why they are on the path to becoming the number one jig in the country. Simply Custom Kicker Jigs. When an ounce counts.